Welcome everybody to a special edition of the Roldorf Cafe. This edition is rather special because it's a wind-up edition of the Roldorf Cafe today. On Saturday, March 29th, I interviewed the owners and product managers of a few brands to have a chat about what they're up to and what's in their future. These interviews were completely unplanned and very much out in the open, as you'll hear, because it was on the terrace of the venue in San Francisco. I hope you enjoy the chats.
She's letting you know, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you haven't said anything before I met her.
Okay, so here we are at Wind Up in San Francisco, and I've just been joined by a great friend of mine. His name is Kermit the Frog. No,
that's the other brand.
Oh, that's the other brand. Mike Pearson from Zodiac. Mike, thank you so much. I was just upstairs. I saw exactly how busy your spot is up there with like layers deep of people. Yeah. It's very, very exciting. So absolutely, thank you so much for coming down and taking a few minutes out just to go through this crazy interview.
Nice pleasure.
Thank you.
No, it's absolute pleasure. I think it's just after 4 o'clock. I haven't set my watch. It's after 4 o'clock and we haven't even looked outside. We haven't eaten, and it is literally 5, 6, 7 deep. And if anyone is in these type of areas, I think they do San Francisco, Chicago, New York, but there are events like this. Go to them, because it's amazing how the camaraderie around the tables, you get to hear people like me blabbing on, but you also get to hear people around you and their opinion, and it's been so educating. So we love it.
It's brilliant. I love this show. I've been to Basel numerous times.
Oh, it's so different. Like that.
It is so different, and I love this.
It's our people, Jason. It's our people.
Exactly. Okay, so Zodiac.
Yes.
Zodiac and you. Tell us what Zodiac is to you right now.
It's a bit of a therapy session question. So I don't know if many of your listeners might know, I've been in the watch industry for quite a while. Biggest part of my career was with a British brand that you know pretty well called Bremon. And after all the years you do with a certain brand, it's incredible when you it's not like you can't do it or you don't want to do it, but I've now got a family and you have to find space and balance. And so you step back, and it took forever to really fall back in love with watches, if I'm really honest with you, Jason. And you've known me for a long time.
Yeah.
I have to really care to really care.
Absolutely.
And I was consulting with a few different brands from my time in England, and I got a call from the gentleman who was tasked by the ownership group to bring Zodiac back. And he might be a bit of a nightmare, I hope he's listening, but he's also quite brilliant to surround himself with people that really have a vision for what brands should be. And the more and more I spoke to him, and I think this leads to a very long way of saying what I think now, is that they have all the parts there. There's no history like it. There's literally no history in the industry with this type of price point like it. What it meant to dive watches, what it meant to colour, what it meant for innovation through the 60s and 70s. And the ownership group now have had the brand for 20 odd years, and it's only the last decade that they've started to piece together its potential. So what Zodiac means to me is that we have a chance to bring an icon back. And we get to do it in our way. We get to nod to its great designs, its greatness in terms of some of the things that it meant to the industry. And if we respect the people who want to celebrate it, I think we've got a chance to really, really do something quite special with it. So to me, it means that we've got a chance to bring one of the greats to everybody.
For me, being on the outside, it's been very interesting to watch, because I know you, and I know you very well, and I know that you put way more than 100% into anything that you feel passionate about. And I just see a massive change in Zodiac over the last year and a bit.
Yeah, year and a bit.
It's absolutely incredible, because I knew Zodiac back in the early 90s. I was an AD for Zodiac back then, and the watches were fantastic then, but now this is absolutely gorgeous what's coming out. And well, kudos to you.
Oh,
and your teams.
Well, the 80s, I always say that the brand was owned by one family for 100 years. just over. When the quartz crisis happened, if Zodiac had fell off a cliff like a lot of brands did and re-emerged to its great fanfare, it would have been a whole different game than what we're playing now.
Yeah.
The brand has never been out of business, but it had an ownership group in the 80s, an ownership group in the 90s, which was very similar to the people who were doing Tag Heuer. So there were some very Heuer-looking watches at the time.
Absolutely.
But also with that came out some really cool aesthetics, like the red dots or the blue dots. You've got the buzzsaw bezel.
Yeah.
And then in the 2000s, it was sold for very inexpensive money to the Fossil Group, who own it. And I say this with a great respect to the people who employ me. They didn't quite know what it meant to the Swiss industry. And they bought some really cool fashionable colours and styles to Fossil, with the platform that is Zodiac. And it wasn't quite, shall we say, loved by our community, and I say this with the people who listen to this podcast, but it did sell a ton of watches. And so, in it, to be fair, it's never gone out of business for 141 years, but what it has done is had to evolve. So a few years ago, that same gentleman who asked me to join, he was very smart and asked some of the people that we would know within this industry, what would you like to see from Zodiac? And it was, bring back some of those iconic colours, bring back some of those designs that meant something. And because of the size that it was, and the Swiss part of Zodiac was just starting to really be rebuilt, they'd bought into a movement house, but they also had to buy in Etta, Salitas, Soprods, Valjoux, all the things that you have to do as you're growing a small brand.
Yeah.
And these limited editions became something quite niche. And so people like Hodinkee, Worn and Wound, where we are today, other retailers who'd be in North America, even in Europe, would say, I need this limited edition. And then what it would do would be a great buzz, really great energy, but then it would go away again because there was nothing you could see every day to say, what is Zodiac today? But now we've got it. We have six platforms that we can go on. And so all of the things that it's gone through to get to where we are today will hopefully mean we're in really good foundations for the future.
That brings us into the next very, very important question. What's important and new that you're showing here and possibly for the future?
Well, we had a really crazy release a couple of weeks ago. You might have seen it on Instagram. It was the Skeleton 615. It had a colourful bezel. It was nicknamed the Rainbow. Technically not a rainbow. In full honesty and transparency, didn't like the watch as it was on paper. Didn't really think the idea was right. But the more we talked about it was about showing what STP, the movement, is.
Yeah.
It was about still celebrating colour, but why not show them all? And what the paper couldn't show me until we started to get the prototypes through was the depth of it. And it worked, and we sold out the first batch massively and quickly. But what that does is it sets us up for the next bit, which we can't tell you just yet, but we can allude to bringing back some of the greats. And also we are bringing back some traditional colours that are really, really important to the collector group. And also by the end of this year, every single model bar one will be an in-house movement, which means we will respectively and thankfully say thank you to Salita and Soprod for helping us grow. But we've now got the ability to do it on our own. And with that movement, we've also got some changes, which means it's got a little bit more oomph. That is the best way of not telling you what's coming, but getting excited about it.
That's amazing. No, I can't wait to hear about that. Okay, so now, I know your time is precious. I got three more questions for you. We've seen very recently that there are very particular colours that have come out that have been trending.
Right.
We've seen the pastels out there that have been sort of leading all of that. What do you think is going to be the next played out colour?
Played out's difficult, I think, because especially in a brand like Zodiac, who's got a ton of colour and always has, and we've always been quite popular with blues and oranges.
Yeah.
I do think I'm going to be a bit different and change it. I don't think it's going to be the colour that gets played out. I think it's the playfulness that's been played with that's going to get played out quickly. There are certain brands that should do it well, and there are other brands that are doing it of a moment, and that's probably what Zodiac did with some limited editions and here come and go. I do think you've got to know who you are, and I think that we are in a world right now where a lot of people want colour and personal preference on their wrist to show who they are. But I do think that there are certain brands that will only do it because it is now, and I hope that it doesn't get lost and it becomes a fad, because things that we do, or say what you would find with even what Oris are doing right now, I think they're doing it correctly because it's part of a palette. But there are certain brands that would do it, and I think it would just go away next year and they'll reinvent it again, and that will be the thing that I will say I hope it doesn't become wrong of them. Is that okay?
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. Okay, so What's the worst idea that you've had to kibosh in the last little bit?
The ideas that I had to kibosh, I have a lot of them. Most of the bad ideas are shot down by Mrs. Pearson. But in terms of watches, I think it's basically we sit around a table and we look at some of the colourings and we look at some of the watches that have come and gone. And I think I wouldn't say it's the bad idea, but the Astrographic is a watch which is loved.
Yeah.
It's the one with the mystery dial, the floating hands, and I'm a big believer in it. But also, I've also been the guy that's been trying to push, we need core, we need more of a story within certain collections and selections. If I started to push Astrographic right now, other watches cannot be built. So I've been massively shut down, as in, like, give it time, give it a couple of years, and our Swiss facilities can do it correctly, and we can still grow.
Yeah.
And on the second side, just to be less formal, I really want to do the Seawolf like Mickey Mouse from Gerard Genta, but they shot me straight down. So I'm not going to call anybody else out for bad ideas. I'll just call my own.
Okay.
It would look awesome. You all know it.
Okay, so now this next question goes towards our Toxic Tuesday post that we would do. One of the big questions that we would always get asked whenever we did a post like that is, why the hell would anybody let their watch get into such a state? I want your opinion on this.
Well, tomorrow I'm doing a panel here for Worn & Wear. You'll hear it on their podcast there, but wear your watch. But I haven't got the second part, which is also a nice little bit of cold water and a soft toothbrush will also help it after. So, so I want everyone to wear it. Beat it. Your scratches are your own. But there's nothing wrong with just taking care of it like you would a nice pair of shoes, or to, you know, get your lint roller out of your suit. But I am not one to judge anybody because I have kids and the place is a pigsty.
That's awesome. Mike, thank you so much. I know you've got to get back. For taking this time to spend with us, just to take a few minutes, just to have this really quick chat. Thank you. You're an amazing guy, man.
Some of my favourite memories are with retailers in all my watch career, but when you meet genuine people that you can become friends with, it means the world. We work together like we did. We don't speak as often, but I'll always love you. And for what you've been through and how you've got through it, I'm just so thankful to have 10 minutes with you and you as well. I'm talking to Mrs. Jason over there. But honestly, we're a really great community. Sell watches together or not, as long as we all want to hear each other's stories and look after each other, that's what it's all about. So thank you.
Awesome. Mary, do you have anything to add?
We love you, Mike.
Yeah.
Wonderful being here.
Thanks, mate.
Hello everyone, this is Jason, and I want to thank you for being with us today listening to the Roldorf Cafe podcast. You can hear more of our shows and when they are released on Instagram and our website. We cover many topics about watches, the industry, and the brands we're most passionate about. You can find the Roldorf shop at 307 West Cordova in Gastown in Vancouver. And we'd be delighted to welcome you and talk watches. Visit our website for more information at roldorf.co.